Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
Amen. Go ahead and grab a seat. Thanks, guys. It's great to see you all today. We are in for a great day. It is Vision Month. I said it's Vision Month. Come on. And this is week two. And today is going to be, there's going to be a little bit of celebration today. And as we said last week, we also have a free gift for you. Yes. Yes, that's happening today. Just before we do that, and there's two stools here, one for me, one for the Holy Spirit. One for me and one for my good lady wife, Shirley James, who's going to be joining us in just a minute. But before we do that and we get into the content of today, I just want to talk to you a little bit more about finance, okay? We're just going to have a little family conversation about money. We are so grateful, as Wally just said, as he helped us with our giving today, for the faithfulness of this church and your giving. And I just wanted to address that in 2 weeks' time, on the 25th of June, we have our This Is Life offering. You might want to call it a vision offering, a mission offering, but it's all the same thing. What it is, it's an offering, it's an opportunity for us to do something above and beyond our routine tithes and offerings, to do something as a special one-off moment to just help us to continue to do all that we're doing. I just want to be really clear with you, church. The offering is not for a one specific project. The offering is not to buy a minibus or a building. The finance is to go towards the ongoing work that we are already doing in the mission that we have shared. And we're going to share some great news today of things that you've done as a church family over this last year. And that is where the finance is going. We want to continually step up to meet the needs in our city, to reach more people, to see more people come to Christ, to see more people discipled, to see more community grown, and to see us impact our society at increasing levels. To do that, we need to put fuel in the tank. That takes finance. And I just want to talk to us for a little moment about finance, because I'm aware that as I do this, I've shared a little bit on a soul night, when we've had those over this last season, and a little bit more with our business leaders. There is a risk when I talk to you about finance that you will misunderstand what I'm saying or hear something different to what I'm saying. So I just want to ask that we listen attentively and put it through the filter of the Holy Spirit today. And here's what I want you to know at the outset. We are full of faith for the future of this church. We have absolutely, Cheryl and I, as your pastors, have no doubt in our mind that God will provide. We've just read his word. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all other things will be added. God does not order something he cannot pay for. And so when we stand here and say, this is the mission, this is the direction we are going, we fully believe that God has gone before us and will make a way for that to happen. We also know that God partners with people to make that happen. We also know that we together are his church. This is his church, and we together, all of us, every single one of us, make up his body, his church. And so we all have a part to play in this. But I want you to know, from our point of view as your pastors, as a leadership team, and as a board, we are full of faith for what God is going to do. Now, we have had a season of unusual challenges, especially financially, as you have probably had in your home with the rising cost of living. There's been some major economic challenges. We've had 2 years of COVID and then a third sort of lag year coming out of that. And obviously, as you've seen with many charities, many other churches, probably also in businesses, it's been a tough financial time. Praise God, we are still here, we are still going, and we are stronger than ever. But there is a curve, there is a ramp to come out of that. Church, we are really smart in using this center as a resource, that we rent it out to corporate people who pay to use our building, because this is a fantastic resource and it brings people who would never come to our building to come to our building, which is amazing. But for 3 years, we didn't have that income. Over the last few years, you imagine how much your electricity bill has gone up. Your eyes would water if you knew how much our electricity bill has gone up, and so on. So many just things that have been a challenge over this season. So as a response, we have worked really hard over this last year or so, this recent season that we've had, to make sure that, are we doing the best that we can do as a leadership team to steward the resource that God has given us? I'm pleased to say that in this time, although it's meant some tough decisions, we have reduced our outgoings by 33%. That's really good, guys. Anybody in business that knows, if you reduce your outgoings by 33%, you've worked really hard at that. The team have done amazing, and you've given yourself a chance to build sustainably to go forward. We're trying to be good stewards and try and offset some of those, as I say, that lack of income that we haven't had from conferences and some other things that have hit us financially in the background. So, rising costs, we've tried to reduce our outlay, but here's the cool thing. In the last year, and I know attendance isn't everything, okay, but in the last year, our attendance has gone up on average by 39%. Come on, that is so good. That is so good. In fact, I've put it on a graph. Yes. I don't know why, I apologize that the numbers on the left-hand side, I don't know why they're there. They don't mean anything. There is definitely not 250,000 people in church this morning. So I think we just had to put those on to get the graph to look right. Okay, so don't worry about those. But that represents a 39% growth of our attendance. So through a time of increased costs, we've done the best that we can. But here's something I want us to understand, because in a moment, I'm going to show our giving on that graph. Okay, not yet. But before I do that, I just want to say this. This is not a complaint, okay? I'm just putting this up as an awareness, because we are the family of God, amen? And in a family, we all take responsibility. And I understand why this is. I'm just showing it as an awareness of, through this period of growth, this is what has happened to our giving. Let's put the line of giving up. Now, praise God for that consistency of giving. That is amazing that through a difficult economic time, we've remained faithful, and that ongoing giving is fantastic. Now, the challenge that I think we can all see is that our attendance and therefore the needs upon the church are ever increasing, but currently, the giving is not increasing. The giving is stable, which we thank God for. Draw your own conclusions. I'm just giving you the information. What I would say is, again, we are full of faith for what God is going to do in the future. And yet we know that if we are going to continue to press on to do more in our city that we want to do, we want to press on to reach more people, to help more people. We want to continue to do what God has asked us to do. It's fairly obvious that at some point, that's not sustainable. That our output and the mission that we have will outstrip our giving. And so, I don't want anybody under condemnation. I don't want anybody feeling guilty today. That's not why I'm showing this. I'm just showing it so that we as a family have an awareness that we all have a responsibility. And here's the thing. If we are hand on heart saying, that is the best we can do, that is all that we can do, then do you know what? God is going to bless it. God is going to do the over and above, and he will somehow make a way and fill that gap. I'm just putting it up there to say, can we just all assess, are we doing the best that we can do, all that we can do? Are we seeking God and asking about our finances? Especially, and I'm saying this now, notice I'm saying this after the offering. I'm now not sending a bucket around, because this isn't about putting an extra 20 quid in the offering. This is about all of us and our continued, deliberate, intentional faithfulness towards the offering. And this is one of the reasons why at this time of year, we are taking an offering towards the mission of the church, because after the years that we've had, there's still a gap to enable us to just keep continuing to do all the good things God has asked us to do. I would love it in years in the future if the offering we put in on an annual basis was to four projects and next levels. Currently, we are not there. We're at the place where we need that extra financing to meet that gap so that we can do all that God is asking us to do. I hope that makes sense. I hope that you're still full of faith and we're trusting and we're in faith together, but we all just take responsibility together. Let's just pray together. Father God, we thank you that you are our provider. God, we thank you that when we get to the end of ourselves, that's when we meet you. Father God, I just thank you for every person that gives so sacrificially, so faithfully, so diligently in this church, God. And we pray that we again would all understand what it is that when we seek you first, you add all other things to us, Father. God, we pray over this upcoming This Is Life offering, that nobody would feel under guilt or condemnation or arm twisted to give. God, that we would just ask you, what is it that you would have us do? And we would be faithful to that, and we would see you do the rest. Just as you took that little boy's loaves and fishes and did something amazing, God, would you take our sacrifice and our offering and do something amazing with that? In the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen, amen. Okay, Shell, why don't you come on up? Give her a round of applause.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Good to see you all. I'm just joining in with Jock now just to share more of the vision with you. But I wanted to share a picture before we start. I shared it with the staff this week, and I just thought it would be worth sharing it with you too. But we live next to a beautiful field, next to us, beautiful green field. Or so we thought. All our windows face that way. And so we thought, beautiful field, it's great. And so we thought. But actually, the farmer came by the other day, and he plowed the land. And he left deep marks all throughout the field. The whole thing was upturned. And I turned to Jock and I went, oh my gosh, what has he done? Like, what has he done? This looks awful. It looks terrible. So he has plowed this whole thing. And then he comes back another day and he tills it. And it's looking better. And I'm thinking, okay, it's getting there. And he comes and he tills again. He comes another day and he tills again. And I'm saying to Jock, surely that's enough now. But he comes and he tills it one more time. Till now, the ground is beautiful again. It's not green yet, but it's beautiful. And I just felt God, the Holy Spirit, say to me, that's a picture of what the last few years have been like for a lot of people. It has felt like things have been plowed, that there comes a tilling, and you're like, not again. And then something else hits you, and then something else hits you. And we've had it even here through church, haven't we? The whole time of COVID, and then coming through to the other side, and then transition. And just it felt like, you know, there's one thing after another. But I looked up why they till the land, and I'm sure some people here who are agriculturists can tell me. But they till the land for three reasons. One, the soil can become quite compact. Two, the nutrients need to come back up to the top. And three, the soil needs to get ready for the seed. And I just really felt the Holy Spirit say, the soil is ready. The soil is ready. And so, church, I am excited. I am so excited for what God is going to do because the soil is ready.
Amen. It's nice being here with you. You're normally there. Okay, so today we're pressing on part two, as we said. Today we're going to celebrate a little bit. Next week, just so you know, it's Father's Day next week. But next week is also our 20th year wedding anniversary. So, you know, last week I spoke about how it's important to celebrate and mark the moment. You remember that? Yeah. Well, we're going to do that, and we aren't going to be here next week. We're going to go, and we're going to celebrate our 20th anniversary, because it needs celebrating. The team will be here, and we're actually really excited, though. We've got Pastor Luke Bryant from Liverpool One Church, and he's going to be here sharing the word. Luke, just so you know, is also one of our board members on our board of trustees, and so has journeyed this with us over the last 18 months or so, and is a great man of faith, and so you're going to absolutely love him. And then the following week, it's Giving Sunday, which we're excited about. So the reason we're celebrating today is just a quick recap. Last week we shared on Vision Sunday the vision and mission of the church and how we believe God is leading us. We spoke from Joshua 3. It's that moment where God's people are moving into a place of blessing. They are moving in to the promised land, to the promises and the purposes that God has for them. It's not without its challenge, but God leads them and he says, they say to the people, follow as you pass through the waters. Follow the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God. I want you to follow me. God says, follow me. Here's why, because you've never been this way before. I'm leading you into a new place, and we need to follow God. And we felt from that is indeed what we're called to do as a church, to follow what he is doing. And we distilled that down into three things: the way God is leading us, the mission of our church, which is to grow disciples, create community, and impact society. And we explained that just like when you throw a rock into a lake and the ripples go out, when that center ripple is that we're growing as disciples, when we are growing in our love of him, in intimacy with him, growing in the strength and confidence that Jesus gives us, and we do that in a community where we're strengthening one another, challenging one another, encouraging one another, from that place of strength, we cannot help but impact society. And so that's what we spoke about. We just want to take it on a step now. Shell's going to read us into Joshua 4. Yes.
So this scripture that I'm going to read now is the scripture where they're getting ready to cross over. And this is, no, I'm reading from this one.
Okay.
And this is what God says. Go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulders, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign amongst you. For in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was out of before the ark of the covenant of the Lord was cut off. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel together. The people put these stones down to remind themselves of what God had done. And this is what we're doing this month. We are pausing. Yes, it's Vision Month. Yes, it's also a giving time. But also, it is a moment to pause and give thanks to God for what he has done. And Jock mentioned earlier how Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fishes. You know Jesus, when he took those loaves and fishes, he didn't actually pray for the loaves and fishes to be multiplied. He looked up to heaven and he gave thanks to God. Thanksgiving is powerful. And church, we want to be a church who is thankful always at what God has done, who are quick at remembering what he has done. Because we as people are easy to forget, are we not? So we may not know all the details of where he's taking us, but we are excited because we know that where he is taking us is good. And we are excited for that.
Amen. And so we're not going to put some stones down today, but we are going to mark this moment. And that's what the gift is about. Because today, we've got for every home, we've got a book. And inside this book is just story after story, some statistics for those of you that like that sort of thing, of just thankfulness of what God has done through you, his church, over this last year. We're going to share with you a little bit as we're sat here. We're not going to give it to you till the end because we know what will happen is you'll just sit there reading it and not listen to anything we're saying. We know you. So we're going to share some of the things out of this book. And at the end, we've got one for every household that is here. And so the plan is, this is our stones, if you like. This is us taking stock of what God has done. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to briefly go through each of these: growing disciples, creating community, impacting society, share what God has done, and a few of the things that we are looking forward to. So the first one, growing disciples. Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this is so important that it's central to everything that we do, growing in intimacy with him. You know, everything else is built upon that. Your and mine individual walk with Jesus is ultimately the most important thing. Amazing things happen when we press into him. And yes, we love church gathering. We love our times of worship. We love all the different. Everything else should facilitate that. But I tell you what, the stories that I love most in church are when people come up to me and they say things like, you'll never guess what happened in our life group. Or you'll never guess, like, when they come up to me and we had a YA meeting and we prayed for this person and their shoulder got healed. Or you'll never guess, I was out for a run. Somebody said this to me. They'd lost their job. They didn't know how they were going to go forward. And they rang me up and I said, I'm praying for you. And I was praying for them and I didn't really know what they were going to do. And then he just grabbed me in church and said, it's all okay. Oh, great. Have you got a job? I said, no. Okay. Have you robbed a bank? No. He says to me, no, I went for a run. I'm like, okay. He goes, and I met God. And God told me, it's going to be okay. Fast forward six months on, maybe a little bit more. That gap led him to start a new business and then moved on to start a fantastic new job. But what I loved was just, it wasn't me preaching to him and going, you said, it was just his own revelation with God. And imagine if that was happening 100, 200, 500 times, you were all coming in here going, you'll never guess what God did in me this week. You'll never guess what happened when we prayed. I'm like, well, I might guess because God's amazing, but that the ripples of that will go out from this place. And that's why it is so important. So check this out. In the last year, church, we have seen 151 salvations. Come on. That is worth giving God praise for. 54 people have been baptized. We've seen 25 people complete the Alpha course, not just started, and another over 100 people join in that growth track journey, all of which just says, hey, we are growing together.
What better way to hear than just us telling you stories, but actually listen to someone's story? So I would love you to pay attention to the screens now as we watch someone's story.
My name is Paul Stevens, and I've been attending Life Church for about a month. When I was young, my dad beat up my mum, and he ended up going to prison. We ended up going in care. He come out of prison to look after us. I had a rough life living with him because he was a bad man. I had to leave there, try and make a life for myself. I was in a bad place. I got depressed. I started doing cannabis, from cannabis to drugs to everything else. It just went downhill for years. I ended up, a few years later, I got a chance to have a job. That changed my life. Then I met this lady at work, which was my first wife. That was a great marriage, but she got ill. And then I lost her a few years ago. That put me more down, so I started drinking more. My wife I've got now helped me through a lot. My wife had told me to try Life Church, go to Life Church. It's something what I need, something what I need to do. It was proper uplifting. I mean, it was like walking on air. I walked through the doors and it was just, that was it. I knew I had to come to church every week, and I come to church every week now. How did I feel when I got baptized? I felt like a new person. I felt like totally somebody else. It made me cry. It brought me to tears. I just felt lifted. Everything is gone. And that's what it felt like to me. Oh, Life Church supported me from day one. As soon as I come in, I was welcomed with open arms, which I never thought would happen. I mean, it's just so nice to be loved. And you can feel the love when you walk through the door, and that's what I like, to be loved. And you know you're being loved, and you know you feel it. And it's some of what you need. Everybody needs it.
Come on, can we thank Paul for sharing
thank
his
you,
story?
Paul.
Amazing.
Thank you, Paul. Paul, I love that you always sit there in the second row. Nearly every Sunday we get a hug, don't we? And I had the privilege of being able to baptize him a few months ago, which is beautiful. But imagine that, church. Imagine if we were a church who was known for its discipleship. Imagine if we were known as a church who were known for the salvations coming through the house, but not just people coming through and knowing Jesus, but staying and growing as disciples of Jesus, mature. And it should be central to everything that we do. But it leads us on to the next thing, because we can't have discipleship without people. We can't have discipleship without community. And Ephesians tells us that we are built up together, not on our own, but together. It is essential that we are together. In fact, John 13 tells us, by this they will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It's not when, or it's if. It's our choice. It's our choice to have community. It's our choice to enter into fellowship. And the Bible gives us this beautiful picture of a body. There is nothing tighter than a body, is there? Like, I can't separate my finger from the rest of my arm. Can't separate my leg from somewhere else. You know, like, it has to work together. It is joined in unison. That's how it works when it's together. And so when the Bible talks about being a community of believers, it doesn't just talk about being a community. It says that the disciples in Acts were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to the teaching of the apostles, but it also says they were devoted to fellowship. Let's be a church who is known for our devotion to our fellowship. And as me and Jock were talking about what we call this, we are very aware that, you know, I don't know if you know this or not about us, but we are building a house. And so when we talked about calling this maybe building community, actually we thought, we don't want to call it that, because yes, we're building a house and we know what that building looks like, but more than that, we're creating a home. We're creating what it's going to be like, what it's going to feel like, what the culture is going to look like. We're creating what the rooms are going to look like. Like, we are working out what our traditions are going to be like as a family. We are creating a home. And so we wanted to call this creating community.
Yeah, I love, one of the things I love about it is we all create community together. It also creates more gateways for people to come in, because as you do your thing and you're part of society, it creates more opportunities for people to engage and connect. And the other side of community is, as we just talked about with the giving side, it takes everybody playing their part. And church, you're just so faithful in your serving. Just over this last... just since the start of this year, we've had over 100 people sign up to serve. Come on, that is amazing. Give them a round of applause. So good. It's so good. And so in our community, just some numbers for you. This is what's happened over the last year in our community. Our Sunday attendance is up by 39%. Our kids' church has doubled in the last year. That's amazing. That is amazing. Let's give our kids' church workers a round of applause. And yet again, our life groups so strong, over 50 life groups. And just again, to reiterate, we are not a church that does life groups. It's not a program. That is our church. When you meet on a Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, whatever night it is, that is as much our church as this is together. And it's so important. And listen, we need more life group leaders. We constantly have people who want to join a life group, but we don't always have enough life groups for people to be in. So we're developing a new training program for life group leaders as part of that. And so if that's of interest, we'd love to get you involved in that. So come and let us know. We always need more. We've got other discipleship groups happening. We've had our Brotherhood men's groups happening. We're committed as ever to our young adults who are doing amazing, to our Thrive community, our older generation who are just, that is one of the most fired up meetings of the week. And of course, to our young people. And one of the things that we've taken steps to do is actually employ a youth director. And so Josh Stannard is going to be starting as our youth director in 2 weeks' time, which we're absolutely delighted about. And we've got an amazing team of youth leaders, and we just want to support them and strengthen them. So we really believe that's going to be a strength to all that we do with our young people going forward. We're also committed to all the other different expressions of life, like our men's groups. We've got obviously Excel coming up, but we've got a men's camping trip coming up on the 7th of July. What have we got for the ladies?
We have a girls' night happening on the 29th of June. Girls, put it in your diary. Thursday night, more details coming soon.
And then through July, we just want to celebrate the sense of community together. So on the 9th of July, we're going to do that bring and share meal again. We're going to go for it. And so on the 9th of July, it'll just be a case of we'll put loads of tables out. We'll all bring food and just eat together as a family. And on July the 16th, we're going to have a new to church after Sunday. We'll give you all these dates another time. On Sports Day, apparently. That's an update. So just having fun as a community together. But I just think it's really important that this mission, it just helps us view everything through the lens of, is it helping us build disciples? And is it helping us build community? Because when we are rooted in Christ and we are connected together, that is a platform from which we can impact society.
Beautiful. And obviously, as we impact society, which will happen naturally, won't it? We can't stop the ripples coming out if we are growing as disciples and we are creating communities that we will be impacting the areas that we're in. The Bible tells us in Matthew that we are a light in this world. That's who we are. But what we want to remind you of, church, is the city in which we live. We all know we live in Bradford, and it's a city that actually has increasing needs and yet decreasing resources. The more we talk to the social services and our council, the more we are aware of the needs that are happening there. And so before we go into the next section, we have a clip that we'd like to show you. The BBC recently did a feature on Bradford, and it's called Bradford on Duty. And so we're going to watch a clip on that because they introduced Bradford, I think, in a very real way. And so if you are watching online, your screens will go off for 2 minutes, but we will be back. Obviously, we can show it online because it's part of the BBC.
But thank you to the BBC for making that for us, because it's a very real look at what life is like in our city. Can we just give a massive round of applause to all our public service workers, everybody that's amazing on the front lines. That is our city, and we want to play our part in making this city a better place, as we have done over years and decades in this city, but to increasing measure. We've been meeting with some of the people that you've seen on that intro to speak to the council, and I think Susan Hinchcliffe said it really well: increasing demand, decreasing services, and it's really shocking. And that's why we thank God for what we have done, you know, and what we were able to do. If you remember, just before Christmas, we work through this time of financial challenge, we took an offering as a church and to enable us to continue to do still what God was doing. And off the back of that, that was the seed that triggered so much. Because off the back of that, more funding came in to allow us to do more than we'd ever been able to do before in our city. So just this Christmas, here's what we were able to do because of you, church. We gave out over 4,500 presents, gifts to children in our city that needed them most. We were able to work with families and supply them with gas and electric to heat their home over and cook food over Christmas, as well as families with supply groceries so that they could eat over Christmas. Just amazing. But you did that, church. And we've been able to partner with all different agencies around our city to be able to do that. And that is just a picture of what we did at Christmas, but that's a picture of what we want to be able to do increasingly going forward. She'll just talk a little bit briefly about Beyond Bradford, and then I'll come back to Bradford.
Yeah, so we're also able to help Beyond. As you know, we have a partner church in Warsaw, and they help a lot of the Ukrainian refugees. We were able to be there actually last summer and able to see the work that they're doing. And it's incredible what the church is doing. And to be able to witness that and see firsthand what they were doing was amazing. And so we've been able to partner with them to help them set up a school. So they have a school there now to help the children, which is incredible. You were also able to give to the Turkey and Syria Appeal Church. Thank you so much for that. We did that through Open Doors and through Christian Aid. And obviously, we continue to do our work through Compassion. So many of us have Compassion children, and we are reaching those children through our monthly work that we do there. And then we have a lot of other charities that we're also involved in. So thank you for your work beyond these doors.
Yeah, thank you. What you are doing, church, is amazing. The ripples are literally going out around the world. But just to bring it back to Bradford, it's interesting that I don't know if you know this, I think I said it last week, Bradford is the youngest city in the UK. It's one of the youngest cities in Europe. But unfortunately, our child services have been through their Ofsted and are technically failing. And so help has been brought into our city to try and raise a level and help. But again, it's that thing of increased challenge, increase in need, and decreased resources and facilities. But we want to play our part. And if there's one thing we do is we do family well. It was interesting, many of you have been going into our little booth and recording, and we still need you to do that. But so many of you, when we said, what does Life Church mean to you? So many of you have said, family. Some of you could say something different, that'd be really helpful. But it's so true. And we do family well, and we just, from the outset, we just have always wanted to play our part in the city through family. And so it was in our heart to meet the needs of family, to create a safe space for encouragement, for training, centered around play. And in the last 3 months, you know, I said we were able to give away 4,500 toys. We actually had further partnership with the same charity. And in the last 2 months, on your behalf, we've given out another 7,000 toys in our city. How amazing is that? We've been able to do that through partnerships with refuges, with schools, with other churches, with refugee centres in our city. Toys have gone into hotels where they are just still full of refugees, families who yet don't have a place to move on to, which is amazing. We've been partnering with people in our local communities, and one of the things that was in our heart to do was to take our, what was our former daycare space, where some of the kids' church is happening today, and just go, how can we make that a resource for families in our city? But knowing what I just said to you about how we just need to put fuel in the tank to do what we're already doing, how can we now invest money into that? But God knows, and God's gone before us. So a charity reached out to us and said, we want to come and see that space. And some members of that charity, who we'd never met before, as far as I know, are not believers, came and met with us. We toured them around the building. We expressed our heart, the need in our city, and what we want to do with families to enable families to access the services, and whether it be parenting classes or nutrition classes, but based around a safe play environment for those kids. And after seeing the site and hearing about what you've been doing as a church, they said, do you know what? We're going to pay for a sensory room, a brand new sensory room to be installed in there, and you won't have to pay a thing. I think we've got some pictures behind us of the room that they want to put in there, and this will just really help children, especially those with additional needs, but just an amazing help to our, they're in such short supply in the city of Bradford, but they're going to come and do all the work and pay for all that for us. It's just amazing. And they're talking about partnering with us more, which I don't want to say too much about because it's not definite yet, but there's more coming. And it's just an amazing picture of God going before us, God showing us the way, God leading the way. And that is in our heart to do. We've got other charities that are now wanting to partner with us so that we can turn that into a real refuge for people, a place, a safe environment where families can come, access services, and their kids can have an amazing time and we can input into their lives. So that is what is going to be happening in that space, in Jesus' name, in the coming weeks and months.
So, so good. Honestly, God has just gone before us in so many areas. It's incredible. And we also feel we have a mandate as a house. We've always been a resource to others, wider than just our city, actually beyond the UK, even to Europe. We've always had a mandate to just open our doors and just resource and give to others the way that we can and give strength. And so we will carry on doing things like our Excel Men's Conference. Why? Because we want to grow disciples, create communities, and have men that are impacting society. So we continue to do that work. We're also having a Rock Nations Youth Conference this summer. And we are so excited because we've actually just received news of who's coming. So we have Diego Goncalves, who is a youth pastor of Hillsong Portugal. So he is coming down. We have Laura Hancock, who works for Youth for Christ. And then we have Davide Mutandi, who is one of the worship pastors or worship leaders with Elevation Rhythm in America. So he is coming over as well. So it's going to be an incredible time for the kids together as they get to do that. We also believe we are a house of worship. How many of you believe that? We are a house of worship. And so we want to resource with our worship. So we're really excited to say that the team is bringing out a new single called Your Way, which is coming out soon. They are also... This is where you get to, you know, do your drumming. Is that right? I'm not a musician. Yeah, this is where, they're also going to put on a creative conference, which is going to start with a creative day that they're putting on to resource other worship leaders around the UK. So we're really excited for that. We're going to have Aaron and Philippa Hannah, Jake Isaac, and obviously all our team helping with that. So that's going to be amazing. And then finally, our college, which, as you know, is currently accredited. We want to make that more of a resource to the church. So we're changing its focus. So first of all, it resources you, and then it resources everybody else as well.
Yeah. Amazing. There's a lot in what you just said, yeah. But we haven't got time, so it's good. What we can do together as this body is amazing, whether it be helping resource families in our city, you know, practical care, whether it be what we do through our conferences, what we can do together is amazing. But also, I just want to remind us that this isn't just about what we all do together as a body. It's about what we do individually. Impacting society is about each of us fulfilling the God-given mandate that He has given us. This church will continue, I believe, to be an increasing just powerhouse for our community. Yeah. Not just because of what we can do together, but because of you. And as a community of disciples, we can have a profound effect on our city in our different spheres of influence. As we, as these people, just stand up and keep acting with courage. This church, I just tell you, this church is full of superheroes. I mean, I just wrote a list. This is just a list off the top of my head, okay? So if I don't name check you, don't write me a letter, but because I'm already looking at people that I could have mentioned. But just here's a selection, okay? People like Nola Ruparai. His story is actually in the book that you're going to read. Influencing medical work in the UK, but also now taking that into developing nations. Laura Ruparai, doing frontline key position work in Yorkshire, dealing with children who have experienced massive trauma in their lives. Amazing. We've got people like Tim Nelson over here, all 7 foot of him, CEO of Hope for Justice, leading the charge, working to see an end to modern day slavery. Absolutely amazing. We've got guys like John QC Mensah, who, when I met him a few years ago, said he had a dream to I think his target was through his company, to resource and train 100,000 leaders. When I met him, he was on 8,000. He's now on 500,000, and he's changed his target to 1,000,000. Okay, we've got guys like that. We've got people like Jeanette, who has written a course that's now been rolled out to help people in our city that have suffered domestic abuse. Isn't that amazing? We've got people like Rob Atkin, who's just, not only is he one of the best kids workers ever, but CFO of a company and sitting on charity boards as well. We've got people like Cara, who you heard from doing communion today, who's in regulatory law within social services. We've got people like Lisa Darwin, who raises funds through fashion and creative events to support charities all over the region. We've got people like Janet Togerson, who's a board member for a cancer a charity supporting cancer sufferers, as well as running Growth Track. We've got people like Joe Simpson, who works with Hope Housing, helping people who are sleeping rough find long-term accommodation. We've got people like Michael Amatosha, who's going to be DJing in the car park later. He is now one of the lead product innovators for Jaguar Land Rover. We've got Philippa Hannah in the church, who was on main stage with like United at Big Church Day Out a few weeks ago, and then a few weeks later was leading worship in the Houses of Parliament for their prayer breakfast. We've got people like Richie Garrett, who now works to reintegrate former prison inmates into society and reduce rates of reoffending. We've got people like the legend Mark Walker, who after the challenge of his that he's experienced in his life has decided to help other people that have experienced similar things by setting up a charity for those that are on the margins of society to give them a purpose through working in woodwork and in his wood shop. And I could just go on. Guys, you're amazing. Give yourselves a round of applause. And every single one of you, or you think, well, I'm not a CEO of something. That's okay. You just do you. You be who God has called you to be. And if you continue to grow as his disciple and be strengthened by this community, there is no end to the impact that we can make, church. I'm reminded when I read the book of Acts. The book is called Acts. Why is it called Acts? Because it's about people's acts. It's the acts of the apostles at the time. What if a book was written about the acts of Life Church? What the people of God did in Bradford in this season, and that's you and me, just ordinary people living our ordinary lives, but with an extraordinary God at the center of it. I'm reminded of this passage in Esther where we won't do the whole story because we're out of time, but Esther is a place to represent for God's people to change the course of history. And Mordecai says to Esther, Could it be that you have been brought to this position for such a time as this? And I just want to say to you, church, could it be that you are in that factory, that you are in that business, that you are in that solicitor's office? Could it be that you are in Bailden or Bingley or Cottingley or Denholm or wherever? Could it be that you are there for such a time as this? Because we are going to impact society with what God has put in our hearts to do. And there is no walls that can contain a church who is seeking after him and being empowered by his spirit and his power. There is no end to what we can do. What we can do together will be amazing, but what we can also do, each playing our part, will also have impact that will ripple through the city and change it for his glory. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at Life Church Home. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you soon.